You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to the All Systems Go podcast. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, the founder of Automation Bridge, an online publication for small business automation. And in this episode, I want to share with you all an approach that I've always taken in marketing, but I haven't always been aware of it. And as you know, I'm big on automation insurance, which is, you know, documentation. It's the way to ensure the automations that you're building will function. And if that platform breaks down, you can easily migrate to another platform. But I also want to discuss the insurance for your marketing via what I call a marketing layer. And that is, how do you ensure your marketing is always running, even if your website isn't? So that's what I want to cover in today's episode. But before that, I want to make sure that you are subscribed to the All Systems Go podcast. We are in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, in every main podcasting platform that you can listen to podcasts in. You can just type in All Systems Go and you can subscribe. I want to thank all of my subscribers. And while I'm at it, while you're subscribing, make sure you leave a 5-star rating and a review to help validate this podcast. The only way that Apple Podcasts, iTunes, and listeners of the future know that this is a bona fide podcast with high value is if you leave a 5-star rating and review. So I want to thank everybody who has done that thus far. It is greatly appreciated. And I want to encourage all of you coming in and subscribing to the podcast to do the same. All right, so let me start with some background so that this all makes sense, okay? This approach, I don't feel like this approach is rare, so perhaps I'm gonna put some definition to maybe an idea that you've always had or a way that you've been operating as I was. So this dates back to when I transitioned from engineering the corporate world to the startup space, working with lead pages. And at that time, you know, again, I was only focused on learning marketing from Clay. I held Clay and still do at high regards in terms of somebody who understands marketing. And it proved true. I mean, I'm the marketer I am today because of Clay. So in that process, I learned an approach that would later be revealed to me through projects I worked on independently. Okay, so I started at Lead Pages and it was a standard, what I thought was a standard operating procedure in executing marketing until I started to coach more businesses and work with more businesses and realize like, oh, wait a minute, what I thought was just common sense and natural is not, because I didn't come from a vast background of running a business or anything like that. I was a corporate worker. You know, and I started my business moonlighting as an engineer. And then, you know, learned marketing through Lead Pages that really helped me catapult and build something. Right. So anyways, at Lead Pages, we never built landing pages on the website. And here's what I mean. If you go to leadpages.net and I'm speaking in the past, this may be true now, but I cannot confirm that because I'm not there. But you go to leadpages.net in the past, that was it's a website and the back end was WordPress. So that website had a WordPress installation. There were no landing pages on that website. Okay. All of our landing pages were built using the subdomain provided or the domain provided by Lead Pages, which was like lp.leadpages.net or something like that. I can't remember. I believe it was that. So anyways, that alone was the start of what I would later understand to be a marketing layer. And again, I thought nothing of it at the time. I was just like, okay, this is how you build landing pages. All right, good. Right. And let me also say that at that time, this was around 2015. So around 2013 is where landing page software, primarily lead pages, started to really hit the market and say, hey, look, build your own landing pages. People are like, what's a landing page? Right. And let me not assume any intelligence and exclude somebody who's just getting started or really trying to get up to speed. A landing page is a dedicated page. It's a single website page dedicated to capture information. It's usually referred to as the front door to marketing, right? It's how your leads get in your database. So building out these landing pages is the process that we use at lead pages really, it highlighted an approach. Right. But again, I thought nothing of it. So fast forward to maybe 2 to 3 years later, and I meet Ethan and Jonathan, the founders of ConvertFlow, which is an online, which is another marketing third party tool created to capture lead generation. And I talked to them and they were telling me about their stories of an agency and how hard it was when you brought on a new client to integrate with their website and, you know, connect with their hosting and the web developer. You had all of these dependencies just to get marketing up and running. And what they said is, you know, with ConvertFlow, we wanted to minimize that process to get marketing up. And that's why you can just install our platform on your website using scripts, like you install a script in the header, and then you can pull in all of the assets that you build on ConvertFlow. And they have pop-ups, they have landing pages now, quizzes, you know, a variety of conversion tools. So that intrigued me. And it put ConvertFlow on my radar. And later I would become a user, you know, personally a user. At the time I met them through the company that I was working with, and again, thought nothing of it, but it intrigued me. One could say it probably resonated subconsciously with the approach that I had been doing at lead pages. So as I started working with businesses personally, right, helping them establish their systems, right, put the systems in place, working with their web developer became a hassle. I started to see what Jonathan and Ethan were talking about. I had experienced it a little bit beforehand as a freelancer, but then when, you know, it's like you understand the value of marketing and you're trying to get something up so you can start to generate something, those hassles become more painful. And it was just like, oh my gosh, having to figure out what's your login to your platform and how do you, is there WordPress installed or not? And, you know, people have their websites hosted in all kinds of weird ways and platforms. And it's just a mess. As an engineer and a previous web developer, I could navigate this space, but I prefer not to. And let me just tangentially. I don't know the word. So let me just veer off for a second and get on this brief tangent of hosting. And hey, this is my podcast. So I'm going to say this from my personal experience. I do not recommend and never would host my website with GoDaddy. I know they're a large business. They do a whole lot. And maybe I'm isolating myself from future sponsorships or potential of working together by saying that. But I just can't stand by a product who has, for the lifetime of my professional experience building websites, been more of a hassle, provided less features, and cost more. I just would never do it. I tried to do GoDaddy hosting. And it just didn't work. It first off, the back end was complicated. Second off, they were charging for everything at the time. I don't know if it's still the case now, but they were charging per email address. It was like, yeah, you get 2 email addresses with your hosting and each additional email address is a certain amount. I was just like, what? That's crazy, right? Let alone that it was just like very hard to navigate and understand. So I used Bluehost, and Bluehost worked for me well. It worked very well for me as I got started out. And then I started to have problems with Bluehost because I kept getting hacked. My servers kept getting hacked, and I don't keep a lot of plugins on any of my websites. So that became a reason for me to start looking elsewhere. And now I'm using SiteGround. I've been using SiteGround for, over 5 years, I believe. And I've had no issues. Even when I did have a plugin that got hacked, like my site got hacked through a plugin, they were able to easily identify the files and instruct me on how to fix it. Whereas with Bluehost, they left it all up to me. And I was just like, I don't know how to find these hidden files and this and that. And, you know, so anyways, and it happened to a client of mine at the time as well. And we couldn't find it. And, you know, ever since I moved to SiteGround, I haven't had any issues. So I don't mean for this to be like a promotion for hosting, but I just wanted to give you all my experience and maybe it mirrors yours. But I know a lot of people who are satisfied with Bluehost hosting. I know a lot of people who swear by GoDaddy. I just know. Okay. So the reason why we got on hosting was because I was talking about web developers, because most of my issues with web developers are ones who are using GoDaddy. And then when I tried to bypass the web developer and go into GoDaddy myself to start to look at the hosting so we can start to get some marketing up on the website, it was a hassle. So anyways, out the window you go. Web developers and websites. And when you sit back and take a look at it, one of the most detrimental mistakes that I see small business owners and entrepreneurs making right now is the mistake that a web developer is a marketer. And shame on every web developer listening to this that poses as a marketer. Web developers are there to build a website. Okay, develop mainly the back end of your website, and some developers can go in and match that back end with some front end functionality. That is the average web developer, and it is wrong of you to expect more out of them. It is also cautionary for them to promote themselves as more than that. And that's often what we see. A web developer will say, hey, I can do your email marketing and your graphic design, right? Listen to me. When a web developer says, I can do your email marketing, that means they're going to use a built-in module that says subscribe to my newsletter. Or they're going to ask for the form code from your autoresponder to put it on your website. And their job is done. Okay, I'm saying this from experience and you know it. I can feel it. I can feel this right now as I'm recording this. There are so many people who erroneously put the expectation of marketing on their web developer. The web developer felt overwhelmed. They felt frustrated, and you no longer have a cohesive relationship with that web developer. And you probably have a trail of developers that you've gone through. Well, that's the dynamic. It's the dynamic that I saw and I still see today. I'd like to call web developers out. Say, hey, look, don't offer marketing. Just develop the site. It helps. I get it. It's, you know, they're so close because marketing takes place on the website. But does it really? That's why we're here today. I want to introduce you to the marketing layer. How can one get marketing implemented and running without including the website? It's the marketing layer. This is how you keep the web developer in their zone of genius. They can develop on your website to their heart's content. I cannot tell you how many times I've tried to get something simple, a simple marketing task implemented, and the web developer just overthinks it. Well, really, if you want to do that, I'll just create a custom template and we could use PHP. Why even use that platform? Because, you know, those tools, and it's just like, dude, you are overthinking and over-engineering this thing. I just need a landing page to capture email. That's it. A logo at the top, some copy, you know, like keep it simple. And they want to just, oh, well, you know, we can build the platform to do this in the website. And, you know, if we're going to host it on here, it needs to be. It's like, well, guess what? I'm not hosting it on the site. This is why I'm a strong proponent, of the marketing layer. So what is a marketing layer? It's a technical layer dedicated to marketing that sits on top of your website. It's separate by technical nature, but not by user experience. So what that means is the user is navigating between website and marketing and not experiencing a difference. Right? The branding is consistent. The flow is consistent. However, technically, it's very much different. And what this does is it allows you to ensure 99.9% uptime for your marketing because you've now isolated it from your website. Because along with your website, many of you are working with developers who, and I'm speaking WordPress primarily. I don't really give much credence to like the Squarespaces, the Wix, and the Weeblies. Yes, they're good page builders, get a site up, but I've never, listen to me, I've never seen a startup scale with Weebly, Wix, Squarespace, or whatever else. It's always WordPress. Whether you love it or hate it, that's what it is. Okay. And what I've seen is a lot of times you'll get a web developer who is irresponsible with their development. And really, they don't know how to write code or really build your website in a way where you leverage minimal plugins. So every piece of functionality that you're asking for is a plugin. So you log in, you've got 50 plugins. And if you have over 25 plugins for a basic website for, you know, like a simple website, I start getting nervous. That's just me. I like to keep my plugins, you know, if I can get it below 20, you know, the better. But every time you introduce a plugin, you introduce a potential for your website to go down because you got to update them and maintain them. And that's what everybody's like. That's why, you know, escape WordPress, small price to pay for a fully functional website that can generate revenue. I'll take that cost. Okay. So if that's the case, though, you have all of these plugins, you don't know what's going on. You don't know how to manage the plugins. You don't know if they're using plugins that are written really well or just kind of bootleg plugins to hurry up and add some functionality, and your website can go down. And I know this is true because a lot of times when someone emails me or, you know, whatever the case may be, I'll always go to their website from their email address. And I can't count the amount of times their website is either down or I just visit somebody's site and their website isn't functioning. So if your marketing is on your website, guess what? When your website goes down, so does your marketing. And I am just of the belief your marketing should not depend on the performance of your website. It should have its own performance. That is what the marketing layer is, everybody. Again, it's an invisible technical layer. And what resides on this technical layer is your third party software, your third party marketing technology. It all exists on this layer. Okay. So by technical nature, it's separate. But again, the user experience is very much consistent. If you go to Automation Bridge right now, after this podcast, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. I have a marketing layer on my website. All right. So how do you create a marketing layer? Let's talk about it real quick, because I don't want to just talk theoretically. I want to give you some tangibles, right? Some actionables. So the first thing you need to do is you need to create a domain. OK, this is a domain is where all of the marketing layer will exist. This is the first bit of technical separation. So what does that look like? You can do it two ways. You can do domain mapping. A lot of landing page platforms or lead generation platforms allow you to map your domain to their platform. So what does that mean? Automationbridge.com. Let's say I want to create a subdomain for pages and map it to lead pages, ClickFunnels, whatever you name the platform. I will create pages.automationbridge.com and then map that domain to ClickFunnels or lead pages, InstaPage, Unbounce, whatever the case may be. Right now, whenever I log into that landing page platform and create a page, it's going to be at pages.automationbridge.com. So again, technical separation, but still very much consistent. Automation Bridge is still in the URL. And now that I've told you that, you'll start seeing that, especially when you click on Facebook ads. Look at that URL. You'll see it's either going to be like pages.domain.com or it's going to be domain.com/pages. Subdomain, subdirectory. Don't want to get too technical, but the start with the subdomain. It's easier. OK, so that's one way. The second way is to, with that same subdomain, pages.automationbridge.com, we'll say I could also install WordPress on that domain as its own installation. If you think about it, the process is the same. If I go to a landing page platform, I have to put in my username and email to log in to build pages. If it's a separate WordPress installation, you log into the WordPress backend to go in and build pages. The benefit, though, is that you only need like one or two plugins on your WordPress site so it stays lean and fast. And what do? We don't have to mess with our main website. Our marketing is separated. So if the website goes down, guess what? The subdomain is still working. So our landing pages are still up. All of our marketing is still up. Okay. So that's the first thing to do. Create a subdomain or subdirectory for your landing pages. All right. The second is to add scripts. Add the scripts to your website because the marketing layer also exists in scripts. So as I mentioned, ConvertFlow, they give you a script, you put it on your website, and as long as the script is on your website, you can put pop-ups, right? Hello bars, or, you know, those announcement bars at the top, slide-ins. You enable all of the functionality in their platform to appear on your website, again, without having to modify your website. Now, with this one, you are going to have to reach out to your web developer and get them to install that code. And that may be, you don't want too many scripts in your header. It's going to slow down the site, blah, blah, blah. Hey, look, I'm paying you. Just put the code on there, right? You should be mindful of your scripts, but that is the one ask that you'll need to make when you're putting the scripts on your website. So with those two layers, you have effectively enabled the marketing layer. So now your marketing can exist. Look, if I wanted to put a pop-up on my website, I don't even have to log into the website. I can go into my third party and say, hey, this is the pop-up. This is the page that I want it to appear. I want it to appear on. I can format it, integrate it with my CRM, hit publish, and now it's updated on my website. Didn't have to touch the website. Same with landing pages. I can log into pages.automationbridge.com and build my landing pages. And guess what? Doesn't touch the main website. I've created a total independence from the website, but still creating a cohesive user experience based around my brand. But my lead gen is activated and insured up to a 99% uptime. Right. And the last step is use branded redirects. We did this religiously at Lead Pages, and there's two ways to do it. I won't go over the technical way to do this, but the regular way is you could put a plugin on your website. One that I use is, I think it's Pretty URLs, and you can just create redirects. So let's say I have a ebook. And it's at pages.automationbridge.com/ebook. OK, if I want to create a cohesive experience and I said, well, I want to create automationbridge.com/ebook. And that's the link that I want to send out. You can do that. So you would, you set up a redirect. It says /ebook goes to pages.automationbridge.com/ebook. And now, every time you create a page or, if you want it to match your main domain, as far as when I'm talking about public facing, because people do look at URLs, right? If you're posting it in a forum or, whatever, it's nice and clean. It's your domain / whatever the slug is or the page. And when they click it, it just redirects them to your marketing layer landing page. And I like to do it that way for a few reasons, but one is I maintain control of the destination. Very rarely when I'm posting publicly, like on social media or something like that, very rarely do I use the destination URL itself, because there are many times where it may change. So if I put the redirect, let's just say automationbridge.com/ebook, if I put that up there, I can at any time go on the back end and set the destination of that URL to a different page. It just gives me full control. So as you listen to this podcast, you'll realize the level of considerations that I make. I am so paranoid of marketing of technology, I should say, technology breaking down. And there's so many considerations that I take in mind, like, okay, what if somebody clicks this later? Or, you know, what if this link is somewhere else and I need to change that? Like, that's just how I think. So if you follow this tutelage, a lot of things that you're not even aware of, it's built into the advice that I'm giving you. Okay, so you want to use redirects. If you're not using redirects in your marketing right now, you need to. Okay, bit.lys are not redirects. Okay, I would not, and I see this often. I wouldn't have a bit.ly, like I wouldn't have bit.ly /ebook as something that I say or place in a presentation or something. Perfectly fine if you're posting on social media. Absolutely fine. But I've seen people give presentations, and at the end of the presentation, it's like, go to bit.ly/5steps. And it's like, do you understand the complication in that? Like, I have to type in bit. Remember to do the dot, the L-Y slash. And you don't get any branding for that. You don't even get brand awareness. Instead, I would do yourbrand.com/whatever. Right. I reserve bit.lys for simply posting online, links online that I can track. And even with that, everybody, I have separate bit.ly links per channel, even if it's to the same destination, so I could track link clicks easily and see which channel is performing the best. But let me not get off task. Okay, the marketing just oozes out of me at times. So plus, I know that it's not standard practice. And that's why I want to give it to you all on this podcast. So closing up, we talked about why we need a marketing layer, what it is, how to establish it. And I want to give you a few tools that I've used. I have, experience with either the tool or the CEO. I've used all of them, actually. I've used all of these just to help you understand kind of what this could look like. So the first one is ConvertFlow. I already mentioned that. In fact, if you go to my website, automationbridge.com, I believe the link to opt into the free course, there's a button. If you click that button, I believe it triggers a pop-up. I don't think it's going to the landing page, but if it does, if it triggers a pop-up, that pop-up is from ConvertFlow. And if you've been on my webinar and you've scheduled time to time with me on my calendar, you've experienced my pre-scheduler. That's also ConvertFlow, and that's embedded in a page. So all of those things I control within ConvertFlow. Go into ConvertFlow, create it, and then since the script is on my website, all I do is push publish on ConvertFlow side, and it automatically publishes there. Exit intent, you know, again, announcement bars, all of that, right? Write message is another one. Write message is so powerful because when you install the script on your website, you can control the text. You can control the text on your website relative to the information you've captured. Okay. So if I know you're a customer and you visit my webpage, it's going to look different than when you visited it as a lead or a prospect or MQL or SQL. Okay. So that's another one. Visual website optimizer. We use this. This was our dedicated tool at Lead Pages when it came to split testing, and we did extensive split testing. So you could create an entire version of the page outside of your website. Like VWO will pull in your page. You can modify it in their platform, and then visitors would see the modified version. And then it would tell you, you know, hey, this version one, do you want to make it permanent? And you're like, hey, look, developers, make this our new pricing page or whatever the case may be. Again, we were able to do this without dealing with the dev team or bothering the engineers. Lastly is ThriveCart. ThriveCart's a good one. ThriveCart is my go-to for taking payments. I love ThriveCart. And they have the ability to embed or have a pop-up to take payment on your website. And the thing about this is it's any website, because these scripts are not WordPress based. And I guess I should have differentiated when I'm speaking about these. All of the tools that I mentioned, with the exception of Write Message, I believe Write Message is WordPress based. But many of these tools, I know ConvertFlow, I think ConvertFlow is ConvertFlow is not. Let me not make the statement because I haven't gone through and solidified. Since I use WordPress, everybody, I just know these work for WordPress. But there's a good chance that these work outside of WordPress as long as you can install the script in your header, the header of your website. But you'll want to double check. I did not check before I recorded this. So that's that. But ThriveCart is the last one, you know, and these are all platforms that you can log in, update, modify, and it updates on your website, and you don't have to deal with any of the website hosting or a developer. I cannot tell you how freeing it is to break free from a web developer that is acting as the guardian to all things website and also posing as a marketer. It's the best thing ever, and I can't tell you how great it feels to know that your marketing is running in a way where, I mean, the possibility of it breaking or going down is slim to none. Slim to none. So with that being said, maybe you've pieced it together. I am not a proponent of putting landing pages on your website WordPress installation. I'm not. Not at all. You need to put it on a marketing layer, everybody. And that is why you should. So hopefully this episode was compelling enough, educational enough, clarifying enough, and valuable enough for you to adopt this approach. Like I said, I have not seen this approach fail. I have seen other approaches fail, but not this one. And I think the way that tools are being built, it supports this approach. All right. So who needed to hear this? Listen, let me tell you, I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to tell you who needed to hear this. Give it to your friendly web developer to get them off the hook. It sounds like I'm hard on them, but I used to be a web developer. So I understand like the inaccurate expectations. And then I also understand from the web developer's side, them wanting to be position themselves as more valuable. Just stay true. Some of the greatest web developers I've worked with will say, no, hey, I'm not a designer. No, I'm not a marketer. You know, so be true to you. Send this to your friendly web developer. Send this to that to that entrepreneur that always is having website issues. Just because you're having website issues doesn't mean that you can't be generating leads. OK, this is a way to do that. You know, say, OK, forget the website. It's broke, but I can generate leads through a landing page. Right. I can do all that without my website, given this tutelage. Right. But share it. Make sure you save somebody from making the mistakes that this episode can prevent them from making to keep them on the path to profitability and shorten that path. All right. So all episodes of the podcast are accessible through Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, of course, and every other main streaming podcast or listening podcasting platform. If you want to see the show notes and share these episodes, all of them can be found also at automationbridge.com/podcast. It has been a joy to cover this topic. I really enjoyed this one for some reason. I feel like it'll be very illuminating. And until the next episode, and as always, automate responsibly, my friends.